ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 15, Chapter entitled The Glories of the Descendants of King Priyavrata. Today we're beginning this chapter with text number 1. The text is in prose, not in verse, so I will chant the verse. And everyone should hear. Shri Shuka Uvacha Bharatasyatmaja Sumatir Nama Bihito Yamuha Vava Kechit Pakandina Rishabha Paravim Anavartamanam Chanaya Aveda Samam Natam Devatang Samanishaya Papi Yasya Kalau Kalpa Yashyanti. One more time for purification. Bharatasyatmajak sumatir nama bhito yamuha vava kechit pakhandina rishabha paradim anavartamanam chanaya aveda samam natam devatam samanishaya papi yasya kalau kalpayashyanti. Word for word synonyms, please say responsively. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami continued to speak. Bharatasya. Of Bharat Maharaj. Atmajaha. The son. Sumatik Nama Abhihita. Named Sumati. Yam, unto whom? Uha Baba. Indeed. Kechit, some. Pakandinaha, atheists, men without Vedic knowledge. Rishabha Paravim, the path of King Rishabhadev. Anuvartamanam, following, cha, and, anaryaha, not belonging to the Aryans, who strictly follow the Vedic principles, aveda samam natam, not enumerated in the Vedas, devatam, to be Lord Buddha, or a similar Buddhist deity. Samanishaya, by their own mental speculation. Papiyasya, most sinful. Kalau, in this age of Kali. Kalpayashyanti, will imagine. Translation. Srila Shukadev Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabhadev, but some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddha Dev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles. But in this age of Kali, a community has sprung up known as the Arya Samaja, which is ignorant of the import of the Vedas in the Parampara system. Their leaders decry all bona fide acharyas, and they pose themselves as the real followers of the Vedic principles. These acharyas who do not follow the Vedic principles are presently known as the Arya Samajas, or the Jains. Not only do they not follow the Vedic principles, but they have no relationship with Lord Buddha. Imitating the behavior of Sumati, they claim to be the descendants of Rishabhadev. Those who are Vaishnavas carefully avoid their company because they are ignorant of the path of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vedaish cha sarvair aham eva vedyaha. The real purpose of the Vedas is to understand me. This is the injunction of all Vedic literatures. One who does not know the greatness of Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as an Aryan. Lord Buddha, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists. Atheists do not want any God, and Lord Buddha therefore said that there is no God. But he adopted the means to instruct his followers for their benefit. Therefore, he preached in a duplicitous way, saying that there is no God. Nonetheless, he himself was an incarnation of God. Om Gyanatim Arandhasya Gyanan Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmahyam Dharati Sopadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaptadesha Tarane. Bharatasyatmaja Sumatir Nama Bhito Yamuha Vava Kechit Pakandina Rishabha Paravim Anuvartamanam Chanarya Aveda Samam Natam Devatam Swamanishaya Papi Yasya Kalau Kalpa Yashyanti. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabhadev, but some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddhadev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoction. So, we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada picks up here on this, on the use in the Bhagavatam of this word Arya, or specifically Anarya, meaning not belonging to the Aryans. And he, the word for word says, not belonging to the Aryans who strictly follow the Vedic principles. In other words, an Aryan is someone who follows the Vedic principles. Other Corollary meanings are, Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, Aryan means gentleman. Aryan means someone who's civilized, cultured, respectable. And this is synonymous with following the Vedic principles. If someone does not follow the Vedic principles, then they cannot be considered to be a gentleman. They cannot be considered to be civilized. They cannot be considered to be respectable. This is the import of this word, Aryan. So it's not some, being an Aryan is not some pretense. Just because someone is coming from some tradition or born in a family of those who are following Vedic principles or declares himself to be an upholder of Vedic principles, this does not make one an Aryan. We have to actually follow the Vedic principles. And Srila Prabhupada, he makes a strong point about the Arya Samaj in his purport. The Arya Samaj, they claim that their number one foundational principle is that they follow the Vedas. That's their stated basis of their philosophy, their practices, following the Vedas. But they say that there's no Acharya. Even the founder of the Arya Samaj himself, he said that he was not qualified. That he was not actually an Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada picks up on this and he describes that this Arya Samaj, they don't recognize any Acharyas. They just recognize the Vedas only. So, but if you're going to declare yourself to be, if you're going to be actually a follower of the Vedas, actually an Aryan, then you actually must follow Vedic principles. And now is present is the age of Kali. Kali is characterized by quarrel, hypocrisy, overburdened. This age is overburdened with sinful activities. People declare themselves to be religious, but actually they don't follow the Vedas. So is it possible in this age of Kali to actually follow Vedic principles? To actually follow Vedic principles strictly, is it possible in this age? There's one very nice verse, Bhagavad Gita, very nice section of Bhagavad Gita that deals with this subject matter. Just a little bit of this section, second canto, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has a very important verse about how to follow the Vedic principles even in this age of Kali. So in the, it describes Ya Mimang Pushpitang Vachang Prabhadantyava Pashtita Veda Vadarata Parta Nanyat Astiti Vadanaha Kamat Manak Swarga Parajanma Karma Falak Pradang Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhogaishvarya Gating Prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So Bhagavad Gita declares that that those who are not properly versed in the Vedas, they just see the Vedas as a way to attain heavenly planets, sense gratification, etc. And he says, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya parhita chetasam vyavasayatma kabuddhi samadau navidiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So he said, those who are externally followers of the Vedic principles, they simply see the Vedic principles as a way to achieve sense gratification. They actually cannot take up devotional service properly with determination. And then Krishna goes on speaking to Arjuna. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvando Nityasatvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature, O Arjuna. Become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety and be established in the self. So Krishna's telling Arjuna, okay, the Vedas are there, but they mainly deal with the subject, with the three modes of material nature. So you should understand that this is just going to cause you so much anxiety and suffering. Just to try to get enjoyment, you're also going to have to suffer. Even if you achieve the heavenly planets, you'll fall down again. So rise up above these modes. So then, relevant to this today's verse, the next verse, very important verse. Yavan arta udapane sarvatak samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So there's so many small wells, small ponds, whatever, all over. And some purposes are there. One can extract water, one can achieve different purposes from different wells. Jai Shishi Radha Raspihari Shishi Kumitash. But the big reservoir of water, it can satisfy all the needs of all the small wells. Similarly, the Vedas may be able to, in this particular part of the Vedas, some particular purpose may be satisfied. You may be able to go to Indraloka. Another part of the Vedas, if you serve that, you may be able to go to Chandraloka. Another part of the Vedas, if you follow, you may be elevated from Shudra to Brahman. It's gradually. Another portion, you can go to Brahmaloka. You can get immediate sense gratification by following the Vedas this way, that way. So all these different purposes can be satisfied by the Vedas. But someone, but he says, Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmana Sivijanataha. But a Brahmin, someone who knows Brahman, a Brahmana Sivijanata, a Brahmin or someone who knows Brahman, a true Brahmin, he can satisfy all the purposes of the Vedas. Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu. All these different purposes of the Vedas can be served by a person who knows the Vedas, who knows the conclusion of the Vedas, who knows the purport of the Vedas. So, what is the point? The Arya Samaj, they say, we don't have any acharyas, we just study the Vedas. We just take the authority of the Vedas. But the Vedas say you should have acharya. They're not following that portion. And all the purport of the Veda can be achieved by following someone who knows the purport of the Vedas. So, in this verse, also in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he talks about Lord Buddha. He's making a general point, specifically with the example of Buddha. He's giving a specific example, but the general point that he is making is that there's so many different teachers that are authorized by the Supreme Lord, and they don't all preach the same thing. Lord Buddha preached atheism. Shankaracharya preached Mayavad, and he was an incarnation of Lord Shiva. So many different teachers are there. So many different sons of God, so many different devotees of God. They come in different ways, in different forms, and they preach different philosophy. But these authorized representatives of God, they know the purpose of the Vedas. So even though they don't apparently preach Vedic principles, their purpose is to fulfill the purport of the Vedas, because they know the purpose of the Vedas. Lord Buddha, he appeared at a time when everyone was following the Vedas very strictly, but they didn't understand the purport of the Vedas. They thought, they were all thinking that, we need to become elevated to heavenly planets. We need to have sense gratification in this life and then take a higher birth in the next life. Therefore, we should follow so many Vedic rituals, especially the rituals of killing animals and sacrifice. So this had overtaken the rulers, especially in that time. Ashok was the king, right? Emperor Ashok was there of India, Emperor of India, and he was propagating animal sacrifice so that everyone in his kingdom could become happy by enjoying meat. And then they would be able to be elevated to a higher birth in the next life. So he was propagating this. And it's described that the Doya River was... He described that the Doya River was red from the blood of all these sacrifices. And he very much, later on, after meeting this representative... Anyway, that I may not have the history exactly right, but the point is that Lord Buddha, he preached, stop this animal killing. But they say animal killing is based on the Vedas. It's there. We follow all the prescriptions of the Vedas. And he said, throw your Veda. Kick out the Veda. The Veda is not bona fide. It's not to be followed. He was incarnation of Krishna, and Krishna is the goal of all the Vedas. He came and he said, stop, throw out your Veda. Disregard your Veda. Why? Because he had compassion. Out of compassion, the preachers of the Lord, they have to undertake so many devices in order to uplift the population. According to what one's level, if one is at a lower level, one cannot immediately go to the highest position of love of God, devotional service. One cannot immediately jump to the higher platform. Unless one is, it's very rare in any case for one to do that. So generally speaking, population has to be gradually elevated. So Lord Buddha, people were in a very low consciousness. We just want to gratify our senses by performing sacrifice in this life, and then we're promised a better life in the future. So Lord Buddha came and he felt great compassion. He felt compassion upon the animals that are being killed unnecessarily. And he felt compassion upon the killers of the animals also, that they should come to a higher platform. Jayadev Goswami glorifies Lord Buddha. Nindasi yagya vidir ahaha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaya 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 jagadisha hare. So Buddha had a very compassionate heart. Sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam. He's seeing all this animal killing and he's overwhelmed with compassion to stop it. So he said, he committed ninda of the Vedas. Nindasya yagya vidir ahaha shruti jatam. He said, kick the Veda. The Veda is not to be followed. It is not bona fide. So in this way he cheated the population. He cheated them. They wanted sense gratification, and he taught them a religious principle that would take away their sense, their that particular kind of sense gratification, and give them a higher status in the future. So he cheated them of their sense gratification, and this is the business of Acharya. To preach according to time, place, and circumstance. So then, the followers of Buddha, the Buddhist philosophy became spread all throughout India. And everyone was, to a large extent, people were following the Buddhist principles. And they were non-violent. They were vegetarian. They were not killing animals. So they became a little bit elevated. But they did not accept the Vedas. So then Lord Shiva, out of compassion, he wanted to elevate the people further. So he came as Shankaracharya. And he said, this principle of non-violence, this Ahimsa principle that the Vedas, that the Buddhists are based their philosophy on, this is also in the Vedas. So he taught them how this Ahimsa principle, the Buddhist principles, are in the Vedas. But, so he taught them to, yes, there is a God. The Vedas talk about God. There is a God, but he's impersonal. He's not a person. He's just void. So the people who were Buddhists, they were not prepared to accept that there was a personal God. But Shankaracharya wanted them at least to accept the Vedas. At least to accept that there was a God, an impersonal God. And this would be another step. So he introduced this Mayavad philosophy based on the Vedas. And he drove the Buddhists completely out of India by his bold preaching. And then, so now the Vedas are established again. But Mayavad is offensive because it says that God has no form. This is an insult to God. This is an offense. We have form. Where does this form come from? And the only Shankara's philosophy is actually these forms don't exist. We're all Brahman. This is illusion. Illusion? How can it be illusion? Completely illusion. So they were also mistaken. The Mayavadis were also mistaken. So one by one, various Vaishnava Acharyas, they came. And they, based upon the Vedic principles, they established the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. That God is a person. He has personality. And they taught also how to serve that personal God. In order to love someone, you have to serve them. So if God is a person and he loves you, then we should reciprocate in loving service. So the Vaishnava Acharyas, Madhva, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, they preached different varieties of Vaishnava philosophy and established various kinds of Vishnu Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. And then Krishna, he was in Golok and he was thinking, so now the time is ripe. I made one promise. When I came, many thousands of years ago, as Krishna in Vrindavan, I very much relished the love of the Brijbasis. And I came to teach that the love of the Brijbasis is the highest form of love of God. To show that, to glorify the Brijbasis, to show that they're the greatest lovers of God. But I did not make it available to the general populace. Only those who were born in Vrindavan, they got to experience that taste. So I made a promise that because even I myself, I see that the gopis are loving me so much that they're enjoying their love for me more than I'm enjoying receiving that love. Their love for me is so great that even I'm not experiencing that happiness that they feel. So I have to somehow or other I have to taste it. And I have to, and in tasting it I have to distribute it to others. And then I'll actually understand. Because the Brijbasis are only they're not thinking I have a relationship with Krishna. They're always trying to give Krishna the most happiness through other servants of Krishna. They don't think that they're the best servant of Krishna. So spreading love of God, spreading the love of the Brijbasis, by doing that, one can taste the love of the Brijbasis. Truly taste it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had made a promise that he would come again when the time was right, and he would taste this love of God. So he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And completed his plan, originated with Lord Buddha. Buddha, Shankara, Vaishnavacharyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and taught everyone how to love Krishna in the mood of the Brijbasis. So now our business as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to give this love to others. So is it possible? Do we have it first? First we have to have it to give. You have to have something in order to give it. So that is the first business. We have to first of all have it to give it. But in the meantime, we can help others give it. And that is our business. We're not preachers. We're assistants of preachers. That is our business. So we should not consider ourselves to be preachers. And one very nice prayer, which given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just one verse of the prayer, I'll read it. Give the mood of some of an assistant preacher. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, the most magnanimous incarnation of Krishna. Buddha was very compassionate, very magnanimous, munificent. Shankaracharya, Madhva, Nimbarka, Ramanuja, Vishnuswami, all very compassionate to uplift the population. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent incarnation. So he gave this special love of the Brijbasis. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the mood of an assistant preacher, he prays as follows. Adama Durgati Jani Kevala Karuna Mane Tribhuvana E Jasha Keyati Shuniya Sadhura Mukhe Sharana Loinu Sukhe Upekili Nahi Moragati. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. So I've heard about this compassion. I've heard about it from From who? From sadhus. Shunya sadhura mukhe. I heard about this wonderful compassion that you have, about how you're very famous within the three worlds for delivering the fallen conditioned souls. Adama durgati jane kevala karuna mani. You're very, very, you're famous for this. Tribhuvana ajasha kayati. You're famous for uplifting the Adama and giving them your mercy. And I've heard about this from sadhus. Shunya sadhura mukhe. So what did I do when I heard about it? Sharana loinu sukhe. I very happily surrendered at your lotus feet. He's praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I heard about this mercy. It was such a, hearing about it was so wonderful. I surrendered at your lotus feet. Then he says, Upekile nahi moragati. So now I've surrendered at your lotus feet. I have nothing else to do. I have nowhere else to go. I'm there at your lotus feet. No other work I have. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm just here at your lotus feet. So please don't neglect me. Please give me your mercy also. Please give me your mercy also. So this is something of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions, comments from exalted Vaishnavas? Yes, Prabhuji. Microphone? There? No? You can try.
In order to reach love of God to others, I myself should have love of God.
Recommended. In order to, he's asking to preach love of God to others, he must have love of God. Is that correct? I'm saying it's recommended.
Suppose I don't have love of God, but I have firm conviction that if anyone who chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will definitely experience love of God. So with that understanding, I preach others. Is it okay or not?
It's okay. Definitely it's okay. You preach to others according to your understanding. But don't take the credit for yourself. Always understand that there are devotees who have proper realization, and they're there, and they can give better information. Then you can preach according to your realization. But you should always understand always refer to those who can give, better. So you can be a mess like that. You can be a agent in the Namhata, not the actual giver of the holy name. You can be an agent, commission agent.
Hare Krishna.
More questions?
In this Kali Yuga, I heard that this Buddha is Shaktyavesha avatar. Is that true? Or his original incarnation?
Lord Buddha?
Yes.
Shaktyavesha avatar. Yeah, that's my understanding also.
So in every Kali Yuga is like this, or how does that... Is Buddha always an Shaktyavesha avatar, or Krishna directly appears as Buddha?
I don't have authoritative information to share with you in that regard. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada.